because maybe not everybody has heard around the world. We're going to have a conference in October.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I started sending out some texts just to people that I knew would really be interested. And then within moments, you know, we've already booked our bed and the bed and breakfast, whatever they call them. You know, we've already done this. One lady said, "Oh, I'm way ahead of you. I've already booked my airline tickets and my hotel room weeks ago." I said, "Well, that's faith." Or she said, "Or pure desperation." But yes, and the details are at daveroberson.org. They don't have a lot of the details. Now, the hotel that we have partnered with for years, it's gone by different names. I think last year it was the Crown. Right now, they're in a transition period, and that hotel is not available right now. I'm sure it will be eventually. So details are to come. But if you want to go ahead and start making airline reservations or plans or hotels or whatever, the dates, it's the first full week in October. That's October 3rd on a Sunday through October 8th, which is a Friday, I believe. The first full week in October. So come, all of you, be here. Anyway, hallelujah. I'm excited to see what God is going to do. Amen. This morning, as I was up praying early, I kept hearing a line. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will lead you. He knows what you know. He knows what you don't know. But he'll hook you. He'll get you started. And I just kept hearing a sentence, a question, that I know where it is in the Bible. I knew who asked it. It said, I just kept hearing, "What is truth?" You know, what is truth? And Pilate, I knew, asked that question during the examination, the trial of Jesus. What is truth? So I looked it up. Just, you can look at it with me. This is probably the only verse. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. As far as I know, this is the only verse. John 18. It's John 18, verse 38. But really, the Lord led me to this verse in order for me to read the one above it. Because I just couldn't. Well, I shouldn't say I couldn't believe it, because I'm a believer. I was just stunned when I saw the verse. I knew it was the Holy Ghost. You will too. But Pilate said in John 18, 38, Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" But if you back up one verse, this is where the Holy Ghost was really taking me and us on this today's lesson. Verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king? Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Well, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." Now he's telling the cause that he came into the world. What is it? "That I should bear witness unto the truth." Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Jesus gave us his own personal definition. When Jesus gives you his definition of something, you think that settles the issue? I think so. "Father, thy word is truth." So in my meditator this morning, as this tipped over my revelation bucket, went all the way back to Genesis. See, when it's really God, it'll preach from Genesis to maps. It runs like a flowing stream. You don't have to pound any square pegs and any round holes. And immediately I went all the way back to Genesis in the fall. And there's been people sharing things with me, and I want to just say, you know, Johnny Davis has been sharing some revelation that he's had. I'm trying to incorporate that. Big old Barry. If you don't know Barry, you've missed half your life. Barry Johnson that goes to Jim Martin's church. He sent me an outstanding thing this week. I teased him a little bit like Bronk does me because, you know, Jim Martin, I don't know if you know this, Jim Martin's going to be here next Sunday. And he's going to do the 10 o'clock service, if I'm not mistaken, next Sunday. And so he's going to actually be here Wednesday. Jim is in town. So Barry's doing Wednesday night. And I was telling Barry how much I enjoyed this document that he sent. So I did him like Bronk does me a lot. I said, boy, that's a good letter, Barry. That is really good. I said, when are you preaching? Wednesday night. I'm preaching tomorrow. They'll never believe you had it first, Barry. They'll never believe. Well, we just tease each other. I'm still digesting what Johnny sent me. But let's say this, and see, I'm helpful for anybody that's on this path and is trying to discern the truth, because we will walk in truth. You hear me? He hadn't had us at this all these years not to walk in it. We're going to walk. And I want to say we, I mean you. And you. But let's agree on this. There's things that people send me that to me it's beyond where I am. It's okay. Maybe. I don't know. If I understood it better, I'd know. But let's agree on this. None of us are walking in the fullness of it yet. Because until you can get Tommy Perez out of the chair, we're not walking in it. Until we can get Victoria's brain restored to her, we're not walking in it. Till Homer Betancourt is seeing, we got his sight restored, we're not walking in it yet. But I appreciate anybody that's on this path and this journey with us. And we're all doing our best to. I hope we're doing our best. Every time I say that, I wince a little bit because I know that I'm not doing my best. You can look at my fasting life and tell that I'm not doing my best. I'm not doing all that I can. But let's turn this around and talk about you. No, I'm teasing. He's always getting on me. All right. What is truth? Father, thy word is truth. Now see, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, really, I am going back to Genesis in a minute. In a way, I am already, because the first Adam fell in Genesis, as you all know. Well, Jesus is the last Adam. And he had to prevail. He had to win where the first Adam failed. So he has to face the same. Adam faced the serpent, really. Jesus faces the serpent, the devil. The last Adam, I'm sure the devil thought he would win. He said, I'm going to get this one just like I got the first one. So here we go. The deal is on. And the last thing that the Lord had said to Jesus, the last word that he had heard was at the baptism of John, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That just happened. And immediately it says, Jesus was led, driven by the Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness. So the word that had just come was, this is my son. And what does the devil say? If thou be. Always, 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 the devil comes against truth. He is a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. And immediately he come against the truth. Three times he came against it. Three different avenues. That's not by accident. And it's just a summary. Pastor Dave, when he would teach on that, he said, if you think there were only three temptations, he said, this is a summary of what happened. The reason there's three, it was attack in every way possible. Spirit, soul, and body. He said, Jesus went through every temptation that you can imagine, every mental torment. He was the enemy. If he could have moved Jesus, he'd have put him in a mental institution or something, or tried to get him to commit suicide and jump off the temple. Every damnable thing that could be thrown at this last Adam was thrown at him. Three, spirit, soul, and body. And Jesus had one defense. And the way we read it is, it is written, it is written, it is written. But he could have just as well said, you're a liar. The truth is, the truth is, the truth is. Because, Father, thy word is truth. Now here, in the verse we just looked at, he says, for this reason I was sent. to bear witness of the truth. If you look up the word witness, it's a derivative of the same word we looked at last week from Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Remember that? Let's look at it again just to refresh your memory from last week. See if I can do this pretty quick. Acts 1:8. You youngins, I can still do that. My mama says all the time, my 100-year-old mama, son, you're only 74. And she means it when she says that. But see, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But what's the purpose of the power? And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto Tulsa, Oklahoma. Because it says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So everywhere. And we looked last week at the word witness there. And I have a Strong's right on here. Make sure I do it exactly right. You shall be witnesses. That particular word right there is M-A-R-T-U-S. It's Strong's G-3144. Today, it's where we get our word martyr from. Now, it has come to mean somebody who gave their life, who's willingly surrendered. They didn't fight to the death. They surrendered their life to the truth. And sometimes by force, they'd burn them at the stake and whatever. But it's come to mean somebody willing to die for the truth. But it didn't mean that when Jesus spoke the word. At that time, all it really meant, I'm going to give you Thayer's definition, it means a legal witness in a court of law. Somebody who is a witness. And they've come to give their testimony because they are a legal witness. Someone who is there, a spectator. But over the years, there has been so many people wind up giving their life that now in our day, martyr, normally we think of somebody who died. Now, let me go back to John 18:37 for a minute. Because when Jesus says that I should bear witness unto the truth, it is a variation on that very same word. This one is Strong's G-3140. It is M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. This says you say it martyrio. But it's a derivative from the same word, to be a witness. So when Jesus says, I have come to be a witness, I have come to legally present evidence to you of what the truth is. Okay? Let me ask you, did he wind up being a martyr? Absolutely. See, because the reason he had to be a witness to the truth, it goes all the way back to Genesis. All right? Now, God's word is truth. Jesus says, Father, thy word is truth. Let me ask you, do you think it's always been truth? Sure. Everything God has always said, God cannot lie. Dave would hammer us lovingly with that again and again. He said, no, it's not. See, we don't normally really understand that because we know we have the capacity to lie, so we try not to. He says, and we put that same thinking over on God, but he said, you don't get it. It's not that he won't lie. He can't lie, and we have a hard time relating with that. God cannot lie. But see, if you go all the way back to Genesis, and again, forgive me those that might be ahead of me, I'm doing the best I can. All I can do is present it the way I understand it presently. God said you can freely eat. You can freely eat of every tree in the garden. There's one tree you can't eat of. If you eat the fruit of that tree, and the very day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Amen? Is that truth? It's absolutely the truth. But there was a deceiver in the garden. In the King James, it's represented as a serpent. I don't really think snakes talk. Dave said, if you think that was a snake that could stand upright leaning against the fence and having a chat with Eve, you're probably mistaken about that. The word, if I'm not mistaken, Johnny was helping me. The word serpent there, the Hebrew word, can also mean shining one. It could be like a fallen angel, which that's more like it, I think. But anyway, let's just stay with the principle is what matters. God gave Adam the truth. In the day you eat the fruit of that tree, you shall die. Truth? Can I get truth? That we're in agreement? Satan comes directly against it with Eve. Now, he doesn't approach Adam. He approaches Eve. And this is sin is not laid really at the feet of Eve. It's laid at the foot of Adam. Because Eve, it says, was deceived. You're going to see in a minute, Adam was not. He really, well, in a way he was. But the serpent comes to Eve, and he says, has God said? And so she repeats and says, yeah, we can't eat it. In fact, she added, we can't even touch it. I think Adam added that part, but don't know for sure. Don't eat that fruit. Don't even touch that tree. But anyway, she knew not to eat of it. That's the point. And what does the serpent say? You shall not surely die. I mean, he directly opposes God's word. Would you say what he said is a lie? It's absolutely a lie. But he continues and he says, oh, God knows it. You know, he starts putting blame on God and making her distrust God. And this is something to make you wise and you'll be more like God yourself. And you'll know all blah, 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 blah. None of you have ever listened to him at all. Thou needest a third donut. It is to make thee wise. It is delicious and your brain will be sharp. And never mind, you'll have to take a nap first. But anyway. So you know the story. Eve, eventually, she gets deceived. She's listening to a lie. She gets deceived. And whatever that fruit is, whatever the action was, let's say it that way, she did it. Something that God said don't do. If you do it, you're going to die. Now, the thing of it is, I didn't get it for years that Adam was standing right there. Because it says she turned and gave to her husband with her. He was right there. And boy, did that open up a ton of revelation. See, now the subject today and the title today, I'm sure, is what is truth? Because now Adam's watching this thing. He's right there. That tells me, now I can't prove this, but it seems to me he probably heard the conversation. Don't know. Can't prove that. Whether he did or not, he was with her when she, ate the fruit. Let's say it another way. When she disobeyed the word of God. When she chose something other than truth. She acted on something. See, right now I'm hearing Jesus in Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In a way, every tree in the garden, you could say, is the truth of God. This is what you eat. It's God's truth. Spiritually, it's God's fruit. It's every word of God. This is how we live. We live by eating what God says, because what God says is truth. If he says it, I eat it. That's how I live. And Satan, he knows he has to kill you. He has to come against the truth. And that's exactly what he did with Eve. But she was deceived. But now, to get the picture, Adam is standing right there. God said, the day you eat the fruit of that tree, whatever it is, the day you do that, you're going to surely die. And Adam is watching as Eve goes, chomp. Chew, chew, chew. Swallow. Maybe she took more than one bite. Chomp. Chew, chew, chew. Swallow. And Adam's watching. And she doesn't fall to the ground. She doesn't turn ashen gray and wrinkly like in a movie and turn to powder and dust. She's standing there, beautiful as ever. Looks good, smells good. Now, Adam's got a choice to make, because somebody's lying. See, somebody is lying. God said, if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. Satan said, if you eat that fruit, you will not die. Now, Adam has a choice to make. See, Adam is a little, this is why sin is laid at his feet, because he makes a calculated choice. But what does he base it, what does he base his decision on? Somebody's lying here. I got to figure out who it is. It's his five physical senses. He chose to believe what he saw, what he could touch, what he could smell, what he could feel. There's another one. Anyway, his five, he says, I have to make a decision who the liar is. And based on what my five physical senses tell me, I render a verdict. Adam, in his case, is a judge for himself. I render a verdict. The serpent is telling the truth, and God is a liar. I got real mad at Adam until God showed me I do that nearly every day. Because his word says, Gary, by his stripes, you were healed. And I walk around bent over like an old man, which I'm only 74. Why? Because I'm believing what my five physical senses tell me instead of the Word of God. That's bad enough in my own body. But I cry even harder for Helena and Mary Corbett and Rudy Spurk and so many others that I could name that I have known and loved, that you have known and loved, that we prayed for and milked every cell of our being for faith. Yet, the lie won. And I'm starting to get a whole new appreciation, not appreciation, a whole new understanding of what believing is. What believing is. Believing is more than having knowledge. Hallelujah. Because, I got to let him put it together. See, right now I'm going to the man who brought his lunatic son to the disciples. And why did he bring him to? See, Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration at that moment with Peter, James, and John, I think it was. And they were up there at the moment, and the guy didn't want to wait. I mean, he had opportunity, apparently, to bring his son, who was demon-possessed, lunatic, it says, really bad symptoms. It would cause him to gnash with his teeth. He'd roll in the fire. It would throw him in the water. It said, one of them says he would pine away. If you looked that up, this guy was skinny. He didn't eat. He was like skin stretched over bones. He was something to see. Scary. And the sound that would, the demonic sound that would come out of him. And he said, but why did he bring them to the disciples? Because the disciples had a track record of casting out devils. You can back up in the same book. Just back up a little bit and you'll see that they were casting out devils and healing the sick. So the guy goes, well, I don't have to find Jesus. All I got to do is get my son to one of his disciples, or maybe a group of them, and they'll cure him. So they tried. But they couldn't get that boy free. Well, Jesus comes down off the mountain and sees what's going on, and you know the story as well as me. He's not happy at all. He is not a happy camper. He's not happy about the situation with the boy, but I think he's even more upset maybe with his disciples. If you think you're, okay, I mean, that's scary. Whoa, down boy, down. Gary Backenbucks. Jesus will correct you when you're wrong. He is a great teacher and he is a great trainer. And I need correction. I don't want him to be nice to me if I'm wrong. I need correction. If I need to go to the woodshed, let's get going, you know. But anyway, he's not happy. How long am I going to have to put up with you, basically? How long am I going to have to do this for you? That's what he's saying. You bring that boy here to me, and I mean in no time at all. Just bam. How did my, boom. You know, that boy's free. He's free. And the disciples, privately, I love how Dave would teach it, privately, they don't want to ask Jesus publicly because they know he would answer them publicly. When they had a chance to get alone with him, we have a question, Jesus. And they could tell he was upset. I imagine the question is, why couldn't we cast him out? Or let's say it this way, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And they really didn't know the answer because they had a track record of doing it. If you would have interviewed them on television or something, you know, have you been given authority to cast out devils? Yes, I have. Have you cast out devils? Yes, I have. Did you try and cast out that devil? Yes, I did. Did the devil come out? No, it didn't. Well, why didn't it? I'm going to go ask Jesus. Because they didn't know why. See, and we don't know why. I don't know why. I mean, to me, see, this is where I'm saying my understanding of believing, what it means to believe, has got to change. Because when we prayed, see, and Helena's sister B is here, and we just loved Helena, loved Mary Corbett, loved Rudy. I don't mean to leave anybody out that we've lost. The list is long. And to me, it's just like you and Dave prayed with in those cases. And we all felt like we were believing when we prayed. But when they died, we've got the same question. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? And I'm sure they didn't like his answer, and I don't like the answer either. But my dislike of it is not going to change the truth. Because Jesus came to bear witness of what? If you ask him a question, he's going to tell you the truth. Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Now he talks to them about faith and how it grows like a grain of mustard seed. It can start off small, but it can eventually move a mountain, which talking about any kind of devil, really, in context. I don't care how bad that devil is. You can move the mountain. But faith does have to grow. But he says, this kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, if I was the devil and I wanted to keep the church powerless, I would put out Bibles that don't have that verse in it. And there are lots of versions that do not have. Yes, sir, I'm going to do that. Go to Matthew 17. See. And a lot of people will probably get upset, and that's okay. Matthew 17, in fact, we'll just back it up where you can see it in context. We'll start in verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. So what is bigger than that devil? The unbelief is the real mountain here. Can we agree on that? Jesus, the devil was... I love how Jesus says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God. It doesn't even take the hand. Just blip, Now, the devils, they'll scream and tear and do all of this, but all it takes is the finger of God. I like that. So the devil is not the mountain. The unbelief is the mountain. Now, your faith can grow to the point where you can move the mountain of unbelief out. And you will walk in truth when that happens. See? What's the opposite of unbelief? Truth. Believe the truth. Right now we're believing. I'm going to say it again. We're believing a lie. Because we're very much like Adam. We tend to be moved by what we see, feel, touch. We pray. And if my back doesn't, I'm going to use, most people are familiar, I've had a battle with my back for a long time. I pray, and if I don't feel different, well, it didn't work. What? Gary, what are you making that decision based on? Now, I'm not looking, I see people dropping their heads. They don't want to make eye contact with me because they think I'm talking about them. No, I'm talking about all of us. Okay, we're all in this boat together. How do you know it didn't work? I feel the pain. When I stand up straight, it hurts really bad. Or whatever. Or Mary died. Or Helena died. Or whatever it is. See, we're going to get to the place where even that's not a barrier. When he says raise them, we're going to raise them. Now, he didn't go around emptying all the cemeteries. I love this. I can't pass this up. This is Gary. Probably it's not God, but I can't pass it up. Why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he'd have just stood at the graveyard and said, come forth, they're all coming forth. I think that's true. I absolutely think that's why he said, Lazarus. I'm hoping there's just one. He would know if there's just one. Anyway, I think that's true. Anyway, why could not we cast him out? Verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Unbelief is the mountain. Let's settle on that. But he gives us hope here. But faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove this mountain of unbelief, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove. Now notice, here's truth. Here is pure truth. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Yes, sir. I haven't forgotten why we came there, but just a minute. This is the impossible box, or let's call it the possible box. And for those that can only hear this service, I'm holding up our prayer box, which we don't hide in a room somewhere. We have it right up here by the pulpit so everybody can see it. Because for me, this is the litmus test. We've got Tommy Perez on here when he was quite a bit younger. We've prayed, done everything we know to do. Tommy's still in the wheelchair. We've got Victoria on here, who her parents have attended this church forever. Victoria was born with a partial brain. She's got enough brain to run her organs and so forth, but it's not enough brain to teach her how to tie her shoes or language or anything like that. And on and on. We've got other cases that in the world, it's impossible. There's not even a hospital where you can send them. There's nowhere. Nobody has an answer anywhere. Nor is there a church or a ministry on earth right now where I could send them on a regular basis. Now, anything things happen by the gifts, but I'm not talking about that. A ministry where I know that if I sent them, you know, like Victoria, she's going to come back with a brain, a full functioning brain. Well, we don't have one like that. Well, why don't we have a ministry like that? It's unbelief. It's unbelief. That's all. If Jesus was on the earth, what do you think? If he was still, how did Dave say it? If he still had his ministry office with a shingle hung out front in Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth Ministries, I don't know. If he was, I'm just saying, if he was, and you might have to take a number to see him, you know, and maybe your number is 4 years down the road because it's so busy, you'd still take the number because one thing you'd know for sure, Once you got Victoria in there, she's going to get her miracle. Because there's no unbelief in there. Now, he's got us on that path. I'm telling you right now. He's got us on that path. That is the mind of Christ. You hear me? Now, the reason I wanted you to actually turn to your Bible, if whatever you use. Now, let me finish reading that. Because of your unbelief, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, verse 21. How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now, whether you're in this room or whether you're watching around the world, if your Bible does not have verse 21, I don't care how scholarly they say they are. I believe that's not a good Bible. I believe you should get another one. If I was the devil and I wanted to keep the church powerless, when Jesus, who cannot lie, gives us the answer to unbelief, if I was the devil, I'd try and get it out of the Bibles too. If your Bible does not have verse 21, you need to get rid of it. Okay. And I believe that's the Lord. I wasn't going to do that. And he brought it to my attention now. The truth is, the cure for unbelief is prayer and fasting. Would to God there was a pastor who would have laid out. Would to God there was a church where somebody would have taught those. Oh, wait a minute. Dave is that pastor, and this is this church, and he has laid it out line upon line, principle upon principle, for anybody who wants to move that mountain of unbelief. Because we're going to walk in truth. We're going to walk in truth. What is truth? See, another one that I'm hearing now, what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I came to bear witness, a legal witness of the truth. All right, let's talk about that. I'm just going to follow the examples as he gives them to me. Since I am a guy who struggles being bent over, I sympathize with the person that was bent over for how many years? Somebody help me. 18 years? That's what I thought. 18 years. Was that a woman? Bowed over. And I mean really bowed over. Like looking down at the ground, looking at her knees almost bowed over. Bowed over. Now say out loud with me, 18 years. Say with me, not 1 year. Not 5 years. Not 10 years. Not 15 years. 18 years. Now, when you've had anything for 18 years, it becomes you. I mean, that's, you adapt to it. You learn how to live with it. There may be a vestige of hope someday. Maybe I'd be free, but it really becomes, you identify with it. It's who you are. I have to watch that now. I've got to unidentify with some things. But let's pick on the 18-year one right now. Her truth is, I can't look up. I can't straighten up. And 18 years, I can't straighten up. Now, if you interviewed her on television, would she bear witness to the fact I can't stand up? Well, why don't you? Well, it hurts. If I try, the pain, I just can't do it. But do you have a covenant with God? You know, if she's been to, we would say church, she would say synagogue. Well, yes, I've been to synagogue where they've read that I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will bless thy bread. I will bless thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. She might quote even Isaiah that by his stripes we are healed. And I don't know what all she would do. Yes, and she would say, oh, there was not one feeble one that came out. When God delivered the people out of Egypt, they said there was not one feeble. I don't forget any of his benefits. Maybe she's read the Psalms, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thy diseases. So she could spout truth. She knows of the truth, but she's not walking in truth. And then truth walks in the door. I have come to bear legal witness of what the truth is. Woman, no matter your experience, no matter what you feel, no matter how painful it is, no matter that you only see your kneecaps or the floor, and it's been that way for 18 years, I have come to bear witness of what the truth really is. And somebody that's been in that condition for 18 years thinks they know what the truth is. But Jesus said, no, I've come to bear witness of the truth. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Glory to God. And the woman was loosed immediately. I'll tell you the truth. We, the whole church, commit the sin of Adam every day in 1,000 ways. We have heard the truth. We have read the truth. We've listened to people talk about the truth. But at this stage, we have not yet been witnesses of the truth. And I'm talking about a legal witness. Now, it's interesting to me, because he was showing me this in the last day or two. Go to John 14. I'm getting to where I can do this quicker than I can with my paper one, although I love my paper one. Now there's our verse, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. See, the Father cannot lie. So when you see Jesus, he is the truth manifesting him who cannot lie. That woman with the bowed over for 18 years, that's the truth I've lived in for 18 years. And I can't get up. I can't straighten up. I know I have a healing covenant. I've been preached to. I have a healing covenant. I know what the Word of God says. But I can't get up. But Jesus said he couldn't leave it at that, could he? But why? Because he came to bear witness of the truth. No, that he didn't. Healing is the children's bread. At that moment, Israel was the only nation that had a covenant of healing with God. That's why he said what he said to that woman who was from another country. But she had great faith. She said, I understand that, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. For this saying, your daughter is whole. Oh, glory to God. See, God's not trying to withhold healing. He's trying to get it to everybody. See? Even before the covenant was changed, he was, thank God. So let's go on here, though, because we haven't got to the verse yet. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Now I want you to notice, in the same verse, he makes identical words and the works. Look at this. The words that I speak to you of myself, The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Words, you see that? But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Yes, sir, I'll tell that story. How many of you know that Iran, during the administration of Jimmy Carter, had 270 hostages, I believe it was, American hostages. They had a whole bunch of them anyway. Forgive me if my little details are off. They had them for a lot of days, like a year, thereabouts. But the very day that Ronald Reagan was sworn in, they let them go. And you know why that was? Because they had had people here in America studying Ronald Reagan. And the report had come back to the rulers in Iran with this president. Words are deeds. What he says, he will do. And that's exactly why Jesus puts the equal, the words and the works are the same. God's word is his deed. There's no difference. I wish I was 100% that way. My dad did his best to raise me that way. He said, son, the most important thing you have in your life is your word. He said, if your word is no good, you're no good. If your word isn't no good, nobody will trust you. You're no better than your word. Well, God is no better than his word. Thank God. He and his word are one. His words are deeds. Or as Jesus put it, his words are the works. They're the same. If we get that, we're all walking out healed. Because he's already given us his word. Now then, notice the word believing, how it keeps showing up here. Look at verse, because we're headed to the verse, the works that I do shall you do also. And I'm going to start noticing the word believe. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Now notice this phrasing. He that what? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You notice how believing is in there? I'm tired of doing the same treason that Adam did. Taking God's word, acting on it, and then judging the results by my five physical senses. That will never work. That is the opposite of living by faith. The just shall live by faith. What if Adam, after he had, let's go back to the garden just for a moment. What if Adam watched Eve? Now first off, he was supposed to keep the garden. Why he kept silent during that, I don't know. To me, he should have run that snake off. He had the authority to do it. But anyway, that's a whole nother deal. What if he would have watched Eve eat the fruit, whatever it was that she did, and all of his five physical senses, sure enough, they say, well, it doesn't look like she died. I can touch her. I can smell her. I can talk to her. I can feel her. My emotions are still with her. She's standing right there, pretty as ever. But what if he'd have said this? But even though my five physical senses tell me that God's word is not true, I'm choosing to stay with God's word. And I'm not going to eat the fruit of that tree. I'm not going to do that action. If he would have chosen the word, even though it totally went against everything he was seeing, totally went against everything he was feeling, totally went against all of his five physical senses, what would faith have been? What would faith have been in that moment? I choose the word of God. It is written. He could have said right there, it is written, in the day we eat thereof we'll surely die. I will not eat. Yeah, but look at the five physical senses. She ate it. She doesn't look like she's dead. Well, she was dead, but died spiritually. There might be a little maybe they didn't die till he did it. I don't know about that. Sword fight right there. I'm not ready to die on that mountain. But anyway, I do know this. If he hadn't eaten, he wouldn't have died. And we would not be in the condition we're in. Amen? Now, where he's taken us, the reason this is so important. Thy word is truth. I am the truth, Jesus says. Everyone born of the truth hears my voice. Man. I hope you listened to last Sunday's message by Hans Zanster, the 8:30. If you haven't, you need to hear that message. And then this morning, he made reference to the Mount Carmel again, and I read the story to us about Elijah. And he says, you know, one of the things I did not emphasize that's in that story is that before Elijah called down the fire, it says he took the stones and he rebuilt the altar. And he did it the way it's supposed to be done. And I believe Hans had it directly from the mind of Christ that for many, many years, the Lord has had the prayer center and those associated with this message. For many years, he's been having us rebuild the altar. Do we have to turn away from the altars of Baal? And we've been rebuilding the true altar of God using the foundation stones that he gave us, which is his word, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, I believe the wood has been laid there, not the fire. I believe the wood has been laid. What is the sacrifice? We say, well, Jesus. Yeah. He's the first one. He's the Lamb of God that none of us were qualified to be the offering that he gave. But see, we're called to give an offering. He's had us rebuilding the altar for all those years. I believe now the wood is on the altar. But now in these last few years especially, he's been calling us to put the bullock, the sacrifice, on the fire. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And this is your reasonable service. Be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prayer and fasting. There's a song by Tasha Cobbs. Angie said one day, B and I were doing a duet in here. We didn't know we were doing a duet. It was during one of the prayer times, I was listening to Tasha Cobbs, and she's got this song, Fill Me Up, God. And apparently, B was listening to it at the same time, and we're not trying to sing or anything. We're really here for prayer, and we're trying to, but you know, you just get carried away a little bit. Angie said, you guys didn't know it, but you were doing a duet. We're both listening to the same song, singing a little bit along with it. But it starts off like this. And it's so accurate. Lord, you provide the fire. See, who provided the fire? God provided the fire. Who put the bullock on there? Elijah did. And the song goes, Lord, you provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Nobody can put your body, I shouldn't say it that way. No one can put your body on the altar but you. I can't put Mark Cooper's body on the altar. Mark has to do it. I have to do it. Sue has to do it. You provide the fire. God. And what did he tell us? Right around the start of the year 2020. There's no way forward. There's no going farther beyond where you are without going through the fire. Well, we've been in that fire. The second line goes like this. Aren't you glad I'm not trying to sing it? First line goes, you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. The second one is, you provide the spirit, I will open up inside. If I stand at the door and knock, if any man will open the door, I will come in. This is asking, seeking, and knocking like we've never known before. Luke chapter 11, the bread is in there. God is the bread. Ask, seek, knock. Get into his presence. When you come away, we went in after bread. But you come out with the Holy Spirit who manifests the bread. You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit. I will open up inside. And then he goes, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. I want to be overflowing. I want to overflow. And I'll finish with this. We'll finish from last week. Peter, and so we're so thankful in a way it was Peter that we had the record of, because he is of the 12. He's of the 11. He's the only one that really denied the Lord three times. Now the others were scared, except for John. But he's the one that actually did it. He actually denied the Lord three times. Yet he was so reconverted. It says when you're converted, strengthen you. He was so reestablished. He got so full of God that he just walked down the street. And his cup is so running over. All you had to do was lay the sick people on the sidewalks within shadow length. It wasn't the shadow, it was being close. Because God was just overflowing out of Peter. And the sick were being healed. You talk about easy. What's your ministry? I walk the streets and people get healed. I think even I could do that. We could walk the streets. People get healed. He says you're going to laugh that you ever thought it was so hard. All we really need is to be full of God. Full of God. That also means we're going to be full of truth. That also means we're going to have to start believing in a different way. What is truth? Father, thy word is truth. He sent his word and healed them. And the word says, I am the truth. We are going to have to change how we believe. And according to Jesus, that's going to require prayer and fasting. Now, I'm going to release you now. And we'll say fasting starts at... Now what time are you having your... 4 o'clock. Hans says they're going to be through at 4 o'clock. He knew immediately. He threw it up at 4 o'clock. So fill up first. Fill me up, Hans. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? We can have fun. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you that you are taking us into the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. You yourself, by your own mouth, have said through your prophets that we're coming into a revival that we will see things that no one has ever seen. Lord, that is amazing because you have demonstrated yourself in great measure to the world before. But we're coming into a time where we're going to see things that no one has ever seen. That's, Lord, that means bigger than the miracles that delivered them out of Egypt. That means bigger than parting the Red Sea. That means bigger than bringing the manna in the wilderness. That means bigger than bringing down Goliath. It means bigger than even Peter walking down the street. I think you're going to have many people so full of you, they'll walk down the street and they'll all be healed because that's just who you are. Go ahead and begin to play, please. Avore shandele brico ma kai kayatura me kai fratorusi. Prondera mi kai. Listen, listen, listen to your father. I don't care what you've done. Dave would say, I don't care what slimy rock you might have crawled out of last night or this morning. It doesn't matter that you knew him once and have walked far away. He says, return to me. Oh, backslider, only acknowledge what you've done. Repent, and I will gratefully receive you. I will receive you back to myself. God has been speaking to us for over a year. Come away with me, my beloved. It's not too late. It's not too late. And anyone here in my sound of my voice, anyone around the world listening, just say this with me. Father, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for all the times I've disobeyed you. I'm so sorry for all the times I believed what my senses told me instead of what your word says. Father, forgive me. Wash me fresh in the blood of the Lamb. Restore me to perfect righteousness with his righteousness. And Father, with the help of your Holy Spirit, from this day forward, I'll walk in truth. I will walk in truth. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to walk in truth. Now, there may be somebody you've never even once given your, you've never given your life to Jesus. You've never received him as your Savior. Listen, it's more than a simple prayer. It's not a matter of something you say. It's something you mean from your heart. If you've heard this message today, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you right now, listen, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the perfect man that never sinned. He's the only one that never sinned. He came for the purpose of dying in your place. He loved you so much, and God loves you so much. He sent his only begotten Son that if you believe in what he did, you can be saved and not have to go to hell. So let's just also pray this with them. Say, Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he came and died in my place. He paid the price for all my sins. Father, forgive me and cleanse me based on the blood of your Son. And Father, I believe that you raised him from the dead. And from this day forward, Jesus, you are my Lord. Come into my heart. Make me a new being. Live in me, Jesus, that I may serve my Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And Father, I pray that you fill them with your Spirit, Lord. Everyone, open up your heart. Open up inside. He says, he will provide the Spirit. You just open up inside. He'll fill you. And when the Holy Spirit comes, there's an overflow usually of language. Just let the language, let the syllables flow out of your mouth. He understands them. You don't need to. He understands them. He will make perfect intercession for you, right according to the will of God. Oh, there's so much. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Oh, great days are ahead. Great days of the manifestation of truth, says the Lord. Dave, Pastor Dave, said it correctly. The revival of truth. I hadn't even connected that up. The Holy Spirit brought it. What did Dave say? A revival so grounded and sound. Revival of truth, soundness of mind, and sanity. Sane according to God's thinking, see. The finest minds will evaluate and say, your God must be God. We're witnesses. What did he say? You shall receive power and you shall be witnesses unto me. We are that.